Good morning.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Lisa McNeely, your host for Spotlight on Recruiting, and I am excited. Our leading lady today is the impressive and talented Christy Schutz. Christy and I will be revealing some recruiting secrets. These are proven and easy to implement recruitment strategies you can begin implementing today. But before divulging too much, I want to take a minute and introduce Christy. Christy has over 20 years experience in corporate communications, recruitment advertising, and marketing. In the recruitment arena, she has provided strategic recruitment advertising, recruitment planning, social media content strategies, brand development, and more for Fortune 500 multinational organizations and nonprofits. Christy is a phenomenal writer, and she pursues this passion through freelance writing. Christy's work has been showcased online with the New York Times and with the greater Tampa Bay area. Christy, thank you for joining me, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa, and what a nice introduction. I appreciate it.
Oh, you've earned every bit of it, every bit of it. When Christy and I actually have worked together and known each other for nearly 15 years, and we've worked on various recruitment initiatives together, and when I asked Christy to join me on this show, we were kind of trying to think of like some topics that would be good for our listeners. And in Christy's brilliance, she said, hey, you know, let's talk about like just the small things, the secrets business can do to increase their recruiting success. And so I want to give the kudos to, or shout out, I guess, to Christy for, you know, coming up with the things we're going to talk about today. But I think, you know, before we dive in, we probably need to take kind of a step back and talk about the coronavirus or COVID-19, I think it's as we're supposed to term it, and the impacts that it may be having on hiring. So I guess my first question to you, Christy, is, you know, what are some of the things that you're seeing with the clients you're working with?
Well, it's the inevitable elephant in the room, isn't it? Like everybody's talking about it. You know, of course, we have some industries where we're seeing some slowdowns in terms of recruitment. The ones that you would think would have that, like travel, entertainment, hospitality industries, of course, these with some of the restrictions where they're asking to not meet in large groups, it's obviously going to affect them directly. But then, of course, we've got other industries where the pressure's on. And, you know, one that comes to mind right away is healthcare, obviously. You know, the demand has always been there for healthcare on a good day. And then here we are with this situation where they've really got to ramp up and make sure they've got staff on hand and that they're equipped and capable to handle, you know, any scenario. So for them, you can see where it's obviously picking up a bit.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, and the other, I think we probably, like you said, we are going to see some definite slowdowns in areas, but I know that even just that people are hiring, because this past Friday, I received just an email of immediate openings for one of the California grocery chains. And, you know, so I just, you know, clicked on the website just to see like how many positions this was. And it was kind of California wide and they had 258 positions posted. So, you know, and it could be various things that, you know, instead of, you know, maybe they're getting more online orders and they need help with, you know, filling those orders or whatever the case may be, but they are doing hiring. And then I did reach out to real estate, because that's another one that I would kind of think would, you know, people would be a little bit more nervous, especially with the way that, you know, the Dow and everything and stocks. But, you know, they had said, hey, even in some of their hardest hit areas like Washington, that homes are reportedly being sold like normal. And that spring, you know, is typically the business time, busiest time for realtors. So the realtor that, you know, that I spoke with, the brokerage, he had said, hey, you know, the borrowing costs are dropping. So they're hoping that sales will continue. It's just about thinking of alternative ways for them to do business. And, you know, as far as virtual consultations, virtual walkthroughs. So, you know, it's about figuring out how to do business in the meantime. But he says, hey, I'm already short staffed, so I'm going to continue to hire. And I plan on getting fully staffed to handle, you know, the busy spring season. So I think that, you know, there are organizations that, you know, are still hiring.
Absolutely.
For this conversation, even if you're not, or you're thinking of, you're hiring or you're thinking about not hiring, I think it's a time that you can really use the time if you're slowing down to maybe grab some candidates that will be entering the market from some of these other industries for travel, entertainment. And it may not be a full-time, but they may be looking to pick up some part-time. I think it's great. The organizations, a lot of them are paying their employees for the time that they're not working. So I think that's great. But, you know, also we're all confined to our homes. So, you know, you get a little bit bored. They might start looking around.
Right. And I mean, luckily we do have the technology now to handle this work virtually. I mean, I try to imagine what we would have done 10 years ago or 15 years ago. But, you know, most everybody has access to some sort of video conferencing. So there are a lot of organizations that are just plowing forward business as usual. They're just trying to find some more creative, technology savvy ways to get in front of these candidates. But let's just pretend you're not hiring. It's a hiring freeze, which I've seen some of that going on. We could still use this time to do some important things that everybody always puts off when they're super busy. Things like evaluating their employer branding message, things like reviewing their recruitment process itself. Like, how many times have you thought, wow, there's got to be a better way to do this, but you just don't have time to slow down and even look at that.
Right.
So I think this is a good time to do that. Or even, we'll talk about it a little bit more in detail in a minute, but even looking at some of the job descriptions that you have out there, some of your advertising content, like, this can still be a really productive time for people, even if they're on a complete freeze and aren't really getting in front of candidates.
No, I agree with you. I think that that is perfect because, you know, that way, if when you do start, you're better equipped when you're ready to start hiring, especially with unemployment being so low and it's been so tough to do hiring. If you are looking to slow down, I mean, yeah, let's take the time and improve some processes and improve some things to make it, you know, easier when you do start. Okay, so let's assume everyone's back in full swing. So what is, you know, one of your top recommendations to organizations who are looking to hire?
You know, this is, seems like it would be a no-brainer, Lisa, but you and I saw it all the time when we worked together, and I see it even still today, and that is looking at your past candidates, your past applicants that have already expressed an interest in your company.
Sorry,
you know, there might
be. Sorry, I giggle a little bit, but yeah, you're right. It's something that definitely is overlooked, and it's surprisingly overlooked.
Well, I mean, everyone can relate to scenarios when you've had maybe your top two or three candidates, and you really liked all of them. And it just came time where you only had one position opening and you had to make a tough decision and, you know, make a choice, sometimes almost even flip a coin because the candidates were so on par with each other in terms of their qualifications. But people don't always think about going back to that runner-up or that number two or number three candidate after the fact. Should another position like that open, or should something else come available that person would be a good fit for? It's almost like we're all working on a rec by rec basis or on an opening by opening basis. And there's not always the thought to go back and look at, okay, wait, what happened last time? I think there were some other really good people that we talked to and saw that we should be reconsidering.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny because in one of my past organizations, one of the roles that I had was to actually train some of the recruiters, and in our recruitment training, we would teach them about, you know, resume mining, whether it be, and mm-hmm. one of the first things is we're like, hey, we need to go into our own applicant tracking system. So I think it's like, mm-hmm. if you have an applicant tracking system, great, or whatever system you have that you, you know, you house your candidates in. And one of the things that we would say is, hey, go back 2 or 3 years from when they applied, mm-hmm. because some of those candidates, when they applied, they may not have had the all the qualifications at that point, but fast forward 3 years in their career, they may already have it. And if they've applied for our organization, they've already told us we've had interest, or they have interest.
Right.
We don't need to sell them on our organization. You know, and I think actually it was an example is when you and I worked together, one of the health mm-hmm. systems that we worked on, I mean, I think they, I forget what the role was, but I remember the statistic because I was so impressed and happy with it. But we went out and mined their database. Now, granted, they had a large database and identified 99 candidates,
right.
I guess, that they already had or prospects. We reached out, we screened them, and ended up with 25 interested and qualified that would never have applied for the job because they were already out in the field. But, I mean, 25 candidates, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it happens, and I think that it's a great reminder for people to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, you've already kind of sold – they've already bought in to the reasons to join your organization. If you think about a decision like a job or career decision, that's a pretty big decision. It's an emotional investment. You really think that through. This isn't typically something that someone's doing flippantly. So they've already put some research into your company. They've already put some thought into it, and they've already taken the time to apply, which, as you know, can sometimes be really arduous depending on a company's process or you know, their application process. So to have that opportunity to reach back out to the people that are already in your system, half the battle is already won. So it's a really good idea. Something you want to think about, though, is if there were candidates that were declined in the past, to really look at why they were declined, because you also don't want to reengage
absolutely.
People that you don't want to reengage. But to your point a minute ago, if it's a situation where they needed 3 years experience and they only had two. Well, here we are 2 years later and they're more than qualified, but, you know, they'd be a good candidate to reengage.
Yeah, no, that, and thank you for throwing in that caveat. That is definitely something that, you know, you need to look at. And I think the other thing too is even if they're not interested, they could always be a good referral source as well, because
yeah.
they are advocates of your organization. So even if they're not interested, you know, we have a thing of, you know, birds of a feather kind of flock together. So even if they're not interested, they may know or work with someone who definitely could be interested in your role. So as we're talking about re-engagement, I want to kind of switch gears here and talk about, you know, one of the ways that businesses really engage with their potential candidates, and that is through their job posting or job advertisements. So Chrissy, because you're in corporate communications, this is right in your wheelhouse of creating intriguing content and passion. So I guess, you know, my question for you is, what type of engagement content would you recommend for a job advertisement?
That's a great question. And if you think about most of the job descriptions you see out there on the internet or on a company's website, they're perfect fodder for insomnia. Like if you just can't get to sleep, go read some of those job descriptions because they're super boring. There's a lot of legalese. It's hard to get through. I think really it you know, the suggestions we have to make this better are really common sense things and very easy to implement. So that's why I was really excited to share it with people. And that is, you know, does it read conversationally? Is it something that you can get a hold of quickly, you can really understand, or is it really full of a lot of jargon or acronyms? If it's something that, you know, is full of legalese or language that's hard to understand, you need to fix it because it's got to be easy to understand and easy for people to get through.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that. Sorry, I keep saying funny, and I guess it's really not funny, but I just finished working on a corporate counsel position. And the corporate counsel that was my hiring leader, he provided me this job advertisement and literally handed it to me and said, I know it's a bit boring and long, but attorneys are used to reading stuff like this. And so my response was, well, they may be used to reading it, but it may not be what they really want to read, you know, at their leisure. So let's maybe, you know, change this up so it doesn't look like, you know, it's, you know, some declaration or some proclamation
legal
or whatever
document,
it is.
But, right?
Yeah, some legal document. And, you know, and so we made the change, and I was really happy when I would talk to candidates, and one of the questions I ask is, you know, what interested you about this, you know, this position? And many of them would say, you know what, the job advertisement just spoke to me. And that is, you know, a huge compliment. Plus, you know, you only have, you know, a finite time to grab someone's attention. But before, you know, I guess, you know, can you tell me, like, you know, just, you know, some of the things that you can think of as far as, I guess I'm just looking for an example, you know, as far as, you know, just an example or how, like, the flavor of the company, how would they, what are some things that they should ask themselves when they're, you know, writing their job posting? It wants to be conversational, but what things should it kind of include?
Well, I think, I mean, honestly, pull up your job description and ask, is it conversational, which we already touched on? Is it concise? You talked about this corporate counsel position and how it was long and boring. To your point, people are not going to read a lot of information, especially as they're going through a job search, that you need to make it easy for them. So doing some bullets and really, you know, trying to make it succinct and easy to understand is a good place to start as well. Ask yourself, does it include company jargon or acronyms? And sometimes it's hard to get out of your own way in terms of that because you're so used to talking that company speak. But be honest with yourself and admit if it's something that, you know, you guys speak about around the conference table at work, but not something that someone from outside the organization would necessarily understand, it's something you want to revisit. And then does it have the benefits of your company or the flavor of your company or like almost the tone of voice of your company? If your company's really casual and funny and, you know, fun, then your job description should say the same thing. It should convey that. People are not only trying to understand if they've got the experience and, you know, skill sets to meet a role, but they're also trying to gauge if they're going to fit in with a company culture, which is just as important to you as the employer, too. You need to make sure this person's going to be a good fit. And they can almost self-select out or self-select in, depending on almost the tone of voice type of language that you use in your job description. Another thing, Lisa, and I see it all the time, is are you using well-known job titles? Everybody likes to get fancy sometimes about their job titles. Like, I see that even at the C-level where people will say, you know, chief fashion designer if it's like a clothing company or, you know, which is great for you. But in terms of sourcing talent, you've got to make sure that you're using job titles that people can find when they're looking for jobs. So, you know, you can introduce your quirky or fancy job title after they get the job, but when you're looking for people, it'd be better for you to use a title that's going to be more recognizable.
Right.
And
no,
then,
and
you
I
know,
think,
are you?
No, go ahead, please.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you recall, we worked on a project just recently where they had, it was a commission sales position, an outside commission sales position, and they were using the term account officer. And we thought, well, that sounds more like a bank than an outside commission sales. And that was one of the things that, you know, we had talked to the client about. It said, hey, you know, you got to think about what terms that your ideal candidates are going to be searching on, or people who are going to be looking for this role, what are they searching on? So I think that, you know, that's great insight.
Yeah, and then something else to think about is, you know, does your job have some bias? And I think you've got some expertise in this area too, but just making sure that your job is appealing to both men and women, which you wouldn't think is something you have to think about when you're writing a job description, but it really is.
No, yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up, because I know, you know, when we talk about even like the bullets, there was a study done that women tend to not apply unless they're 100% qualified, where men will apply if they meet like 60% of the qualifications. So I think, you know, that the study was like anything over 6 bullets can be a turnoff for women. So, and I think with that, also being concise, because most people are looking at these on their mobile phones anyway. And so it's really thinking of your, you know, your job advertisement to say, what is really necessary for me to include in here? And also, if you're limiting to the, you know, the 6 qualifications or, you know, or 4 or whatever it is, you may get a larger candidate pool. There's also a tool out there that, it's a, if you just Google gender decoder Kat Matfield, it'll pull it up. But what it'll do is it'll take your job advertisement and go through to look at the wording. So masculine language versus, you know, kind of feminine wording or coding. And it goes, it's the same thing. If a job advertisement is more with, has more masculine coded language, then it will deter women from applying. But if you have more feminine wording language in there, then both male and female will apply. So, I mean, the goal is to kind of get it to gender neutral. So you want to balance between that masculine and feminine wording. But it's a great tool, and it's free. So, yeah, gender decoder, Kat Matfield. Just Google it, and you can find it, and it'll kind of pull the words that, you know, are showing feminine or masculine.
That's a great idea. And then, you know, of course, this one seems like a no-brainer, but are you grabbing your job seeker's attention right off the top? And there's really easy ways to do that. You can ask a bold question. You can say sort of a strong statement at the beginning of your description. And, you know, you might get some pushback from your colleagues who are saying, like, why are you writing this job description in a different way? Or it doesn't look like our normal legalese that we put out there for job descriptions. And in that case, I would challenge you to maybe do a test and put both out there and see which ones garner the most candidates. And of those candidates, which ones seem to be a better fit for you? The one that's kind of your old standard approved by legal job description, or one that's really trying to pull people in and use some more of those bold statements, or, you know, concise, gender neutral, some of the other things that we talked about.
Yeah, and we're not saying, I just want to put the caveat here, or disclaimer, we're not saying that you should ad hocly avoid your legal. So when you're writing
no.
your content, you know, if you need legal approval, you can get it. But it doesn't need to be the legalese. It can,
yes.
you know, be, think of it like marketing. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's marketing. So,
exactly.
But, you know, and I love the test idea. So that's really great. So, you know, as we're talking about like, hey, you need to grab people's attention. I think, you know, one of the ways is through video. I think I had seen like, you know, video content has a 25% higher engagement over any other type of engagement, and that, you know, the number of people watching online videos in the U.S. was like 75 million or something. I think this is a wave of the future, to be quite honest. But many of my employers that I've talked with are pretty intimidated with the idea of using video. So
right.
I just kind of ask you, you know, can you just kind of touch on, you know, some video applications of using video?
Yeah,
video
of
applications,
so,
is probably more correct.
Yeah, of course. So to your point, video is hot. People are really drawn to video content. There's all kinds of studies you can find out there in terms of like social use and which sort of posts gets the most attention versus others. And video is just a means by which you can really get that message out there and get more people looking at your message, because it's just easier to watch a video versus read something for today's audience. So it's definitely something you want to include in your mix of marketing. So one of the reasons why video is so helpful, and we can talk about, you know, why should you do this and what sort of videos should you implement, is ghosting. And we're not talking about Halloween, for those of you not familiar with the term. You know, Lisa, maybe you have a better description. What is ghosting?
So it is actually one of the issues my clients have as well. So ghosting is when you have a candidate and they kind of drop off. It could be one of two things. You interview them, or they're supposed to come in for an interview, and they never show up. They don't call. They don't email. They just don't show up. They become a little ghost. It also happens when some clients that I know that they've actually hired someone and then they never showed up to onboarding and never heard from them again. So that is ghosting.
Yeah, it's crazy for some of us to consider, because it's just so not how we would probably conduct ourselves, but it's more common than you might think. And I think video is a good tool here in that you can keep your candidate or your soon-to-be new hire lead, quote-unquote, warm in terms of continuing the communication with them. So even a simple video from, you know, a hiring leader or your CEO that just says, you know, really looking forward to seeing you on Monday, touches like that just really help to continue to sell the organization to that candidate, and hopefully keep them engaged and interested in, you know, showing up on the first day of their work, so that you don't have the ghosting issue as much.
Yeah, and I go ahead. So, and I was going to say is that this isn't just for junior roles that this is happening either. This is executive and senior executive. It's happening. So it's just I don't want to say it's the new norm, but it's definitely happening more now than I've ever seen in my career.
And think about it, even though you might not be somebody who would ever do that, just think about the classy touch that a video welcoming you to work would mean to you. So even if you're not somebody that would ever consider doing that, it still speaks volumes to your soon-to-be new hire that the company took the time to actually welcome you and say, hey, we're really looking forward to seeing you on Monday. So I think that's one really important way to use video.
Good. I'm just worried about time, and so I may have to have you come back, Christy, because you have so much good information that I want you to share, and we're almost running out of time. But
you're right.
I guess as far as, can you talk to like budget and tools to video? I think that again, it's an intimidation that it's too expensive. I don't want to be in front of the camera. I want it to be perfect. Can you kind of touch on like what you would recommend to a leader or a hiring leader who kind of comes to you like that?
I definitely would recommend you use your smartphone. This doesn't have to be high tech. This doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to have a production crew come out. In fact, it means more to a candidate or soon be new hire if it's authentic and you get that sort of authentic, real day in the life feel to your video. If you literally just pull out your iPhone or your phone really and just take a video. So it doesn't have to be fancy. People can get this done really easily and it comes off more authentic anyways.
Yeah, and I think the thing is the most important thing is, okay, your video should not be more than 2 minutes long. It can be 30 seconds. But I think, you know, you don't want it scripted. And you want it to be, you know, conversational, very much like your job advertisement. But just kind of have like, hey, think about who the video's for, what do they want to know, and what do I want them to know, right?
Yep. All the above, so.
And then as far as for the what they should talk about, I mean, because you really should have kind of an outline, what are some points I think that, you know, like introduce yourself, the points that we kind of talk that you want to make, and then, you know, end with your call to action. And I would think it would be the same thing and again, because this is totally what you do, but I've worked with you enough that I've learned, you want to have a question or a bold statement. You want to be able to grab their attention somehow.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, to your point, and with a call to action so they know what action you're asking them to take.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, Christy, I want to keep chatting. You have so much great information, and we only have like 30 minutes, and I'm afraid that we may go over a little bit over already. So I want to thank you for being our leading lady today, and I also am going to put you on the spot and see if you would come back, because I know that you had so much other information that you wanted to share. So thank you. That'll be great. We'll have Christy back. But I want to do a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. We will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like a copy of the best practices that we shared today, please email me. My email, Leesa, L-E-E-S-A, at Spotlight Recruiting, S-P-O-T-L-I-T-E, Recruiting. You can also find me on the Women Lead Radio blog page with my contact information. The next Spotlight on Recruiting episode will be Monday, May 11th at 9 a.m. Pacific. Stay safe and stay healthy. Thanks again, Christy, for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.